I decided to change up the intro from Play That Funky Music, White Boy by Wild Cherry to Led Zeppelin's Kashmir. And the reason is, after how many decades of Play That Funky Music, White Boy, to be very honest with you, I got very sick of it. And it got to the point where every time I would go out and see a band, the band would start playing Play That Funky Music, White Boy. It was like, no, because now I feel like I have to work. Anyway, how you doing? All right, it's Bowerly. Now, apparently, one of the referee people called in and said, hey, when a coach is suspended or thrown out of a game, they have to forfeit the next game as coach. And without a coach, I guess you can't field a team. Is that how that works? But anyway, youth sports, I'm just telling you, things can get out of control so easily. I saw it as a hockey parent. And with all due respect to our Canadian listeners, I'm going to tell you, I've seen it happen. Look, I know hockey. I grew up watching Dave Hodge and Hockey Night in Canada, watching Roger Doucette sing the national anthem at the Forum in Montreal. So don't tell me I don't know hockey, okay? I stood next to Larry Robinson. I had Yvonne Cornoyer walk right by me. So don't tell me I don't know hockey. Sorry, at least I used to know hockey. Couldn't name half the Sabres now. But forget about that for a minute. But I mean, I know the rules. I know how the game is supposed to be played. And as a hockey parent, it was so frustrating to see the Canadian hockey referees be entirely biased against the American teams. And it led to increased chippiness. That's what it led to. Because the more you get away with, the more you do. And the less you get away with, the less you do. 803-0930, the phone number. I've got a fun topic along the way here, too. In addition to the 5 o'clock topic, we're going to talk about what I said we'd be talking about yesterday, and that is the SPCA, the Humane Society of the United States, and State Senator Tim Kennedy trying to put an end to these shoot-to-kill contests involving wild animals, varmint hunts, if you will. 803, because I'll tell you something, there's nothing like good groundhog stew. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN, says the man who had Clams Casino for dinner last night. I'm a total hypocrite. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't kill animals, but I eat them. I use a hitman. I use a middleman. And, just cook it, serve it up, make it look like food. Don't make it look like a sea creature. And the future Mrs. Bowerly, every time I order anything that's a seafood, she says, oh, you're eating a sea creature. Kind of takes the appetite right away from you. You know what I'm talking about? But she's super hot, so she can pretty much do what she wants. Okay, here is Brian, and that's the only thing that matters to me at this point. Brian in North Buffalo, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Seth. Do you remember back in, I think it was 90, 91, when one cheerleader's mother tried to murder or hire for
yes.
murder?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most insane thing I ever heard. I was living in Houston at the time. And I mean, what a bizarre, putting that story together. You couldn't write that. I mean, who would think of that? She thought that by killing her rival's daughter's mother, that her daughter would get on the squad as a cheerleader.
You are talking about Channelville, Texas, where they take football very seriously, and Wanda Holloway. Remember that name? Wanda Holloway?
Yeah, I think that's probably the girl, or the mother, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, fill me in on that. Who was that?
Well, Wanda Holloway was living in Channelview, Texas, and was convicted of attempting to hire a hitman to kill the mother of her daughter's junior high school cheerleading rival. That's the case, I presume, to which you are referring.
Yes, that's correct. But they take their football very seriously down there.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, Friday Night Lights, you mentioned that before. I mean, it's a, it, it's as serious as, it's Major League Football. And
it's a religion. Football is a religion in Texas. I'm not going to lie.
No, and so I just wanted to impart that on you. It's just, where do people lose their minds? You know, you've got fathers fighting fathers. You've got referees getting involved in all kinds of stupid stuff.
The only thing I remember yelling was, skate, to my daughter. And she was very embarrassed by it. Because I thought she was lollygagging on the ice, and I knew she was capable of skating a lot faster. But I will tell you this much. Like her father, my daughter was an amazing goal scorer. She actually had a 5-goal game. The best I could do is a 4-goal game when I was playing.
Well, that's cool. I mean, my only involvement in sports has been cross-country running and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not a team player.
No.
So to speak, but...
Well, I am, but only at the radio station. Every other aspect of life, no thank you.
Yeah, I'd rather do it on my own. I can't believe that people get their duff up in such a manner. I mean, look, if the Bills lose or win, Monday either is great,
right,
or it sucks. I mean...
Well... You know, it depends on your level of emotional connection to the team. If the Bills win, I think it's great. If they lose, it doesn't really affect my life at all. And it doesn't affect their lives. They're still banking, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for playing a football game every day or every Sunday. So it is what it is. It's entertainment. I worry about the Bills about as much as I worry about Russell Crowe. It's entertainment.
I would rather watch a symphony. But that's just me.
And you are entitled to your choice in entertainment. But what symphony are we referring to, sir?
Well, I guess they equate to be about the same. So if you're into music, well, fine. If you're into sports, fine. But I've seen people break their hand after the Bills lost. This is back in 91 or something like that, 89. Oh, yeah. And so the Bills lose, and my buddy at the time took his fist and went right into the wall, broke his hand. Wow.
You know, that is uncalled for because your hand is made up of a whole bunch of different bones. And once you break one or two of those bones, your hand is never going to be the same. But on the good side, you'll always be able to tell people when it's going to rain.
Correct,
I mean, I've got a crushed finger. It has nothing to do with anything like punching something. I closed my hand on a car door, of all things, in the middle of winter. I've never experienced in my life that kind of pain. I think I'd rather take another kidney stone over the kind of fracture that I have at the end of my finger. The bone is smashed literally into probably 70 or 80 pieces, and I can always tell you when it's going to rain.
I kicked a couch, so I broke my big toe on the right.
On purpose?
Just on purpose.
Oh.
That was
Jesus.
On the phone.
At least my broken toe that breaks once every few months, at least that one was an accident, dude. At least I didn't do it on purpose.
This was self-inflicted, but yeah, go ahead.
Brian, it's been a while since we've heard from you. How are you doing? How are you holding up?
I'm well. I'm clean and sober, and looking forward to the next chapter.
So, that's good. Are you happy?
Well, it depends upon when you catch me.
Understood. Yeah. Are things in your life proceeding along a trajectory that you think is positive?
I believe so.
Because you've been through a lot of stuff that we're not going to go through on the air right now. You've been through so many things. And you somehow have retained your, the center. You've held on to the center. You haven't gotten beaten into the corners of life. And I applaud you for that, Brian. I really do.
Thank you. I could write a book. And the book will be called Ouch.
I could write a book called I Put How Many Surgeons' Kids Through Medical School. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Brian in North Buffalo. And Brian, the dude has been through so much in his life. It's not funny. Not telling tales out of school here, but he's been shot. And he had a long recovery from that. And I like the dude. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So Cheektowaga and Kenmore East ended up last Friday night in a nasty football game, and it was called in the fourth quarter, and neither team is going to be allowed to play this coming weekend. I think the rule is when your coaches are tossed from the game, you can't play in the next week. Supposedly, that's how it goes. Maybe somebody can correct me if I am wrong. If I am wrong, I will gladly take criticism if I'm factually in error. We're never going to agree on every opinion, but if I'm factually wrong about anything, you got to let me know, because there's no point in being factually wrong, and I'm not going to get all peeved about it. That's kind of stupid. Let's go to Pam in Hamburg. Pam, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm calling about the unsportsmanlike conduct that some of the players have been exhibiting lately. I was at my grandson's football game. It's, in fact, one of the teams that are involved in this incident. It was in the last season. And we had gone to the game, and we were told that opposing fans have to sit on one side and the other team members have to sit on the other side. And we were watching the game, and one of the players on that particular team, he was one of the top-rated athletes in the high school area, and he wasn't doing as well as he normally does. And he got upset. He came out. He came to the sidelines. He started yelling at his coach. You could see he was visibly upset and screaming at the coach. The coach just stood there, didn't say a word to him. We thought he was going to discipline him and say, okay, sit the bench or get out. You know, you're ejected. You know, the way he was talking to him, he could hear it. And, you know, he was swearing. And, of course, then he lets him go back in the game. We continue watching. If this had happened probably about three or four times, and he would get upset because he wasn't doing as well. He came out. Coach never said a word. He just, you know, the kid was walking along the sidelines just yelling and screaming at the coach and swearing. And then a few times he looked up at the crowd, and he was screaming and swearing at the crowd as well. And, you know, you had the police, the security there. You had security on the ground watching. Nobody said a word. Nobody ejected the player. When it was time to leave the game, you know, we were afraid to leave because it got a little bit out of control on the sidelines there with their team members. And then the police had come over. And it was the police that came over, and they said the fans have to, your opposing fans, you have to leave this way. The other ones have to leave that way because we don't want any confrontation. And in fact, we had to walk around the whole school just to get to our car because we weren't allowed to be in contact with their team members or their fans. But the main thing is that there was no consequences for this kid that was out of control. He should have been ejected immediately, and it was tolerated.
The coach should have benched him. I mean, I'm sorry, but the coach should have benched him and sent him to the locker room. To send a message. And the other thing, in the longer term, look, this young man, I think, clearly needs some anger management.
Exactly. That's what we thought. And we were just amazed sitting there that it was tolerated. And there was no consequences for this kid. I mean, nowadays, kids have to accept, if they do things wrong, you have to accept some kind of responsibility for your behavior. It's not always somebody's fault for it, and we have to blame somebody. There have to be consequences for what is right and what is wrong. And if you're doing something wrong, there's consequences. And there wasn't, obviously, in this case. And the kid was, the next game we watched, he was out there and he was playing again, you know, nothing was done.
See, that's unfortunate because even if the kid is a star player, part of being a student athlete is the way you comport yourself. Another part of being a student athlete is to learn life lessons. And the coach didn't do that kid any favors. The coach should have benched the kid for the rest of the game and called the parents and said, your kid can continue to play only if I see proof that he's taking anger management.
Exactly. I agree with you. No. In another situation, when are you familiar with the Gus Macker tournament when they used to have it in Buffalo?
Of course.
Yeah. And, of course, my kids were playing in those tournaments. And we would go down there and, you know, they had a nice group of kids that they went with each time. Well, we were playing a pretty tough team, and it came to the end, and it became quite intense at the end. You had the opposing parents starting to, you know, voice their, because they were losing, and things started to get quite heated, and the parents were getting quite loud. The kids were getting upset with, you know, falling behind. But it finally came down to the last few seconds of the game, and, you know, one shot, and our team had won the game. Well, at that point, the parents started running onto the street there. The kids started running on. We thought there was going to be a fight. We said, let's get out of here. We got to get out of here quick. We took off. We started running with our kids, you know, and some of the team members that we had. Let's run. We got to get to our car. We got to get in there and lock the doors and get out of this area. We were afraid. We were afraid, and nothing was done. You had, you know, police patrols were going around. Nothing was said. This was just like, okay, it was allowed to exist.
That's really unfortunate, and I'm sorry that you had to experience that. And, you know, sometimes, I guess the best way I can describe it is sometimes, whether it's a sporting event or sometimes when you're out in public, there's a certain smell that comes into the air, and you've got to know what that smell means, and you've got to be at the top of your game.
You can say that again. That's just how we felt. We said something's going to happen at the end. Yep. We've got to get out of here. We got to get out of here fast when this game ends. You know, yep.
All it takes is a second or two, and that smell comes into the air, and you know things are about to go south.
Correct. I mean, you don't know who's going to pull a gun on you, who's going to get you from behind. I mean, you just go, you know, for self preservation.
Now, that is the first law of nature. I thank you, Pam, very much. I appreciate the call from Hamburg on WBEN. We can continue this. I've got a lot of other stuff that I can whip out. I was out last night somewhere, and somebody had as their ringtone. I couldn't help but laughing. I'm sitting there minding my own business, eating my Clams Casino, and the guy's ringtone was, "Where are the white women at?" from Blazing Saddles. And I totally cracked up. And then the other one was, "Excuse me while I whip this out." Great lines from Blazing Saddles. You ever seen Blazing Saddles, young Tanner?
I cannot say that I have.
I'll bring you the DVD. You can watch it, and you can tell us whether that movie would ever be allowed to have been made today. All right, remind me. I'll bring you Blazing Saddles. You watch it. You have a DVD player, or is that to 1998 for you?
No, I'm a 2000 baby, so...
Oh, jeez. You kids these days. It's 3:28 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly. Thanks a lot for being with us. We have plenty to come here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, thanks for your call on the football situation. I appreciate that. I want to switch gears here and do something a little bit fun. I think a lot of it fun, actually. Now, look, keep in mind, I don't know everything about every song that has ever been recorded or about every song that has ever been a hit, okay? I don't. I try, but I don't. And the idea, for some reason, of one-hit wonders crossed my mind the other... Oh, I know why it did, because Tim Wenger sent me an email about it. Duh. So, anyway... one-hit wonder songs that you are almost afraid to admit you like. Now, my dear friend Gina Latuca with the SPCA, we were very close for a while, and I know most of her one-hit wonder songs that have become earworms that drive her absolutely crazy. So my job in this part of the program is to drive Gina just a little bit further crazy, okay? And her wonderful husband, Joel, I hope you're listening, because I should send you a mixtape of what you probably already know drives her nuts, okay? So... let's see. Let's have some one-hit wonder talk. One-hit wonder groups that you are almost ashamed to admit that you bought the record. You are almost ashamed to admit that you bought the album back when it was 33 and a third rotations per minute. So, young Tanner, let's start off. I gave you a whole bunch of songs during the break, and let's let one of them rip, shall we? Okay, one-hit wonder, classic one-hit wonder. Gonna let it play for a little bit, give you the feel of it. Somehow Wenger's laughing at this too somewhere.
Daddy was a cop on the east side of Chicago, back in the USA, back in the bad old days. In the heat of a summer night, in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
This song has absolutely no basis in historical reality.
Brother, what I thought it really was. Glory be. I heard my mom.
Okay, the group was, come on, the group was Paper Lace. And Tanner, we can probably bring that down now. The group was Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. And one night about 10 years ago at the Buffalo Music Awards, I walked in and there was a group playing. Actually, it was the first time I remember seeing Mike McGuire on stage playing. He's with Back to the Bars now, and it was a group called the Brothers Grimm. They actually were playing this song, and I said to the person I was with, I cannot believe they're playing this song. Okay, one-hit wonders that are your own personal earworms or your own personal wormwood. It's a little biblical reference. I like to throw those in every now and again. Tanner, let's have song number two on the list. Let it rip. No, that's song number, that's still Paper Lace. Let's have song number two on the one-hit wonder list, please, Tanner. This is one of the worst songs in history.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always gonna be here anyway.
Thinking of you's working up appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite.
Okay, that's all I can take of this song. I'm sorry. All right, one-hit wonders that have stayed with you for whatever reason. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, I'm not done yet. Tanner, number three on the list. Whatever I gave you, just let it rip. Not that one. We just heard that one. Number three on the list. And this one goes out to Gina Latuca.
Discontented mother and a regimented wife. I've no doubt you dream about the things you'll never do. Oh. I wish someone had to talk to me.
Oh.
Wanna talk to you. Ooh, I've been to Georgia and California.
I think I just puked in my mouth.
Took the hand of a preacher man and we
Okay, that's enough of that. I'm sorry, Tanner. I'm about to vomit all over the control room, which would be very unfair to David Bellavia. What one-hit wonders, for whatever reason, stand out in your mind? That was Charlene, by the way. I've never been to me. We played that the other day, as a matter of fact. I'm expecting my phone to start going nuts in about a minute. I gave you another one, Tanner. Do you have it all set to go? Okay, let's let this one rip, shall we? Oh, yes! Forgot about this one. I think this was actually originally written by Irving Berlin, if I'm not mistaken.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits.
Okay. Oh, hold on.
Dressed up like a million-dollar trooper. Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper.
And this was actually released in the 1980s by a guy named Taco. I have no idea what Taco is doing now, but I've got one more that we're going to play from the early night. I think it's from the early 1970s, if Tanner has the right one pulled up here on WBEN, talking about one-hit wonders that you've never forgotten that probably should never have been recorded, but they become your own personal earworms. Tanner, let this one rip. Oh, yes. Now, there were two versions of this. One was the German, which you're hearing right now, and the other was in English. Come on, here's the big dance part here. One-hit wonder songs that you have never forgotten. This is Nina, 99 Luftballons. Otherwise known simply as 99 Red Balloons. Not an exact translation. You can fade this out. How about one more, Tanner, from the list I gave you? One-hit wonders that drive you crazy and they've become earworms, your own personal earworms. Like the Rolling Stones, not one-hit wonders. The Beatles, not one-hit wonders. Steely Dan, not hit wonders. Chicago, not one-hit wonders. There are a million bands out there. The Carpenters, not even were they one-hit wonders. But let's let one more rip, Tanner, shall we? Oh, yes! Early 70s.
You ever seen to have one of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend? Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time.
Yeah, bet you did.
But I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it. Sitting in the classroom thinking it's a drag. Listening to the teacher rap just ain't my bag.
I always thought they were talking about cigarettes. In the boys room. Brownsville Station. Right, Brownsville Station, which I believe is also the blues track Jimi Hendrix did in the Woodstock movie as part of his set. It was a song. It wasn't the name of the band by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, so one-hit wonders that have stayed with you. You might hate them. You might secretly love them. It's okay, because we have a never-ending and inexhaustible supply of music from which to pull. And so when you call in, tell Tanner your one-hit wonder so we can be all set to play them on the air. Are you up for this, Tanner? Are you sure? It's only going to be for about the next hour, and then you got an easy final hour of the show, okay? I'm the one doing the work here. I'm doing the heavy lifting. The way I support you. What do you want, my paycheck? I mean, come on. By the way, just this is not for on air, but if you want to send me an email, if you're a dude and you had to have a kidney stone taken out of your ureter because it was stuck, and they had to put stents in, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was the pain for you? Just drop me an email, tom at WBEN.com, because I have no idea what to expect, and it's gotta happen, because otherwise what's gonna happen, I'm going to go to a third world country, and at that very moment, it is going to lodge in the ureter, and it's going to be a problem, and I'd really rather not have emergency surgery in a third world country. Can't imagine why. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. But you can email me if you have had a situation like that. Just let me know what I can expect. I'd appreciate it. Tom at WBEN.com. Tom at WBEN.com. And I knew it wasn't out of me. I told my doctor, I said, no, I can still feel it. And I'll tell you exactly where it is. I said this yesterday, and I had the CT scan, and oddly enough, it showed that the stone is exactly where I said it was. Here is Carl in Dallas, Texas on WBEN. Carl, hello.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I'd say the one song that I always like to request when I'm at like a company Christmas party or a bar restaurant where they have a local band playing, and some bands, obviously, they're inappropriate to play this song, but it's Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter Apollinari. I've always loved that song. It brings me back to when I was a little kid getting on the school bus, and I remember playing through the driver's portable radio when
yeah,
I was
but
really
Carl,
young.
Yeah, but Carl, your call must be expunged from the record, because Peter, Paul, and Mary in no way, shape, or form could be called a one-hit wonder. They were, I don't want to say a super group, but they were a very well-known group of the 1960s. So I'm sorry, Carl, your call is invalid. Thank you very much. One-hit wonders, that is the topic. Not your favorite song, but one-hit wonders that have never gone away. And Peter, Paul, and Mary, no way were they one-hit wonders. They were, again, not a super group, but they were big. Here is Bob on a cell phone. Bob, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Taking you back to 1969 from a group from Texas called the Bubble Puppy. Hot Smoke and Sassafras. It's like rock, psycho, metal. It was way ahead of its time. And if you love playing guitars or love garage band sound, that is the song.
Okay, let's Tanner, hello Tanner, can we let that one rip? Do you have it all set to go? Can we let that one go? Oh, not bad. Not bad. All right, thank you, Tanner. You can put that down. You know, the beginning kind of sounded like Joe Walsh's Funk Number 49.
A little bit. But like I said, I think that song is so way before its time. It's got a little bit of like the rock, you know, 60s rock sound. Definitely a little bit of psychedelic to it.
No.
Definitely it sounds like early metal almost. And it just... It's to me, when you talk about one-hit wonders, that was it. It was one hit.
Hot Grass and Sassafras is the name of the song. I'd never heard it before. By whom?
Hot Smoke and Sassafras.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hot Smoke and Sassafras. I'm sorry. At least I didn't say soup. And the band was?
The Bubble Puppy.
The Bubble Puppy. Wow. Okay. How messed up on LSD were those guys when they named that band?
Well, it was 1969.
Yeah, I thought it might be. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, that's definitely a one-hit wonder and one that somehow got by me. And, you know, that's a problem with a lot of music today. There are so many one-hit wonders and very few supergroups of modern vintage. The supergroup was a 60s, 70s, and maybe 80s phenomenon, unless I'm missing something. On News Radio 930 WBEN, it's always possible.